Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always with me is my trusty cohort and inarguably better FPL player than me, Rob Langevin. What's going on, Rob?
You can argue it. I mean, come on. It's the first day of FPL. You can't be putting yourself down already. I mean, we just got into this and everybody's been changing their rosters. You know, everybody's F5 button no longer works anymore and everybody's rosters are probably not anything close to what they're going to look like in, you know, 25 days when the season starts. But, you know, today's basically like a national holiday for fantasy FPL players. So I'm glad to be here with you, Kev, talking about footy for the first... We called last week's show, I believe, like the first show.
But it was a tease.
Yeah, you know why? Because everybody was going off of fake information. Everybody got leaked information. Everybody paid their, the 15 quid. And got fake prices, and they weren't even... Some of them were close, some were good, some were bad, but...
Yeah,
you know,
I think
whatever.
You do owe a little apology on Andre Gray, though.
Yeah, well, he was listed... He's cheaper than what they listed.
True, but he's a lot more expensive than you thought he'd come in.
Yeah, I don't agree with their factoring. What do you want me to tell you?
Fair enough. Anyway, not to get negative already, because as Rob alluded to, it is Happy FPL Day.
Yes.
The FPL game is officially back. We're trying to get this to you as quick as we can, but very excited, as he said, to be bringing you FPL news for the first time, really, this season. Off the top, game changes. We talked a lot about them last show. A lot of people had been wondering, especially with this new statistics page, if player positions were going to be changed. None of the really big ones were. No Alexis or Sanchez. Or Alexis or Sanchez. They're two different people now.
It's his conjoined twin who also plays forward / midfielder.
It's very confusing. Or it's Carlos Sanchez, who is not very good at football. But I've had Alexis or Firmino. They both stay at their normal positions. We'll get into more position changes in a little bit. But as for the actual game, some people thought that the crisps would go away, but they haven't. The bonus system has stayed the same, though most of them wish that it hadn't. Each player card does now show this thing called their ICT score, which is some made-up stat that they've contrived that combines influence, creativity, and threat, whatever those are. And it doesn't even line up with their own scoring system. Only Ötzel, Mahrez, and Eriksen appear in the top 10 of both lists. It actually lines up much better with our friends over at Toga, where 7 of the top 10 on the ICT show up in their top 15. But that looks like it's already super useless. Those are the quote-unquote changes that have been made to the game. Do you have any reactions to any of that or anything that you wish had been included?
I like the way the new skin looks. I mean, the skin in the game and the toggling around for transfers and stuff like that, that's nice. I'm going to get into the ICT stuff a little bit. I mean, yeah, I understand, like, I guess this is their way of dumbing it down a little bit for the casual player. To put flashy things on, you know, it's like putting a horn ornament on like a Yugo. You know, is basically the way I look at it. Like, you don't need it. You're driving a Yugo. You're gonna drive it anyway, but don't put a hood ornament on it and like, you know, clog up the system with stuff that doesn't cognitively make sense. Because Kevin's the numbers guy here, and he already looked at it and he said he doesn't make sense. So I'm gonna believe Kevin.
I mean, it makes sense in other formats, but it doesn't line up with their stats or their scoring system.
Yeah, I understand what they're trying to do. And, you know, maybe this is the first step in the direction that they're going to expand the scoring in years to come.
Could be.
You know, this is, you know, all right, we're going to introduce these stats now to get everybody aware of them. And then wambo bambo. You know.
Yeah, and if there is one stat that this is borrowing from heavily, it's chances created.
Yeah.
If you look at those lists, it's very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. I like I said, I'm a dummy. I follow. I like things that are pretty and easy to use. And this seems like I like this skin. I like the way the you know, your team is bigger now. It's not like condensed into 1/8 of the screen. I'm a big dummy when it comes to computers, so I like it big and dumb and, you know, full pretty. Of beer. Yeah, pretty, full of beer. I want it big, dumb, and full of beer.
I don't know if we're talking about girls or fantasy games anymore, but you know what? Por qué no los dos?
Doesn't matter. They still both will dance for a dollar at a time. That's all.
You need to go to nicer places, man.
All right. Well, if you do it $1 at a time, they come around more often. If you do $5, they're going to be like, oh, he wants a dance. And you can't get a dance every time.
Mm. Fair enough. Just a small question. They did finally revamp the visuals on it. We talked last time about how this one might take a little longer to come out because of the redesign.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you at all that forwards are still behind the halfway line? I know it doesn't actually matter.
Well, it's before kickoff.
Okay. All right.
You can't stand on the other side of the pitch before kickoff. I mean, it bothers me that, you know, if your team has possession in the kickoff, you know, you don't have to have two guys in the circle necessarily, but you're not going to pass them to the guy way on the wing off the tap because it'll get stolen.
True, but now you don't have to pass it sideways to begin a match anymore. Now you can just pass it straight back, which is a very strange thing that we saw a little bit in the competitions this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree with most of your points on the design. I think it looks very nice. I do think it's still strange that some teams haven't released their kits yet. Not sure what they're waiting for.
But I like how they're being nice at the bottom. All shirts will be faithfully reproduced here once kits are launched.
Yeah. How pretentious is that sentence? All home shirts will be faithfully reproduced.
Mm.
Man. I hope I didn't just offend all British listeners. I was trying to do the Ponzi ones that you don't like. In which case, haha. But if you're a Ponzi one, then I was doing the group of British people that you intrinsically hate.
So vis-a-vis, you hate us because we're Metagons doing a fantasy Premier League podcast.
USA! Okay.
America.
Here to save the mother effing day, yeah. I did mention earlier that there have been some changes to player positions. Alphabetically, they are Daniel Amarte has moved from defense to midfield, Chris Brunt from midfield to defense, Daley Blint from midfield to defense, Bojangles from forward to midfield, Eric Dyer from defense to midfield, Heung-Min Son from forward to midfield, Traore of Chelsea fame, Bertrand, from forward to midfield, and Duncan Watmore from forward to midfield. Any of those that you're really cluing in on?
You know, anybody who's listened to us in the off season, I've been pining for Daley Blind to be listed as a defender because basically he was a defender most of the year last year. You know, that now that I don't know where he fits into the United system, I hope he fits in because, you know, he showed that he could be a viable fantasy option. You know, I hate that his point total was stunted last year because of, you know, him being listed as a midfielder and the clean sheets that he did, you know, garner. He only got 1.4 instead of 3. the other one that's interesting to me is Eric Dyer. And this is I preempted this on the right before we started recording that I'm going to say something to Kevin that he's not really going to like too much. Kevin, if I told you that, you know, Eric Dyer scored 130 points last year as a defender, okay? He had 12 clean sheets. You realize if you take those 12 clean sheets away and give him the points as a midfielder, he's worse than Darren Fletcher.
I'm honestly not that surprised. I honestly wouldn't want any part of that.
You know, I mean, anybody who's looking at Dyer right now as a product for a fantasy team or, because they look at his 5.5 price tag, they think, wow, this is great. You know, I'm doing well. I'm probably stealing candy from, you know, the proverbial FPL baby. Yeah, you don't want anything to do with it. His value, and we'll get into this a little bit later because I want to touch on N'Golo Kanté with Chelsea now, is basically linked and very similar to what N'Golo Kanté is going to do. But I'm going to touch on that a little bit more because I want to ask Kevin his opinion on this as well. Defensive midfielders in fantasy Premier League, the official game, is not anywhere you want to invest any of your funds.
Yeah, for sure. And you just mentioned the perfect person to switch to, which is Daley Blint, who last year played as a defender. This year, probably going to play in midfield. But even if he still plays as a defender, he's going to get you those points for the clean sheets that he didn't last year. So I think you just swap them.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one that's really interesting to me is Bojangles. Because I loved him last year and was kind of screwed out of points in two different formats with him. Because a lot of times the goals weren't coming. There was that whole period where he was doing a false nine thing while Diouf was out before Joselu got going. Wait, he's the Stoke one, right? Mm-hmm. Wanmi is the Southampton.
Joselu,
yeah. Who's now left. Yeah. But I love that he's now listed as a midfielder. It's really where he plays. He's more of a creative player than a finisher. And I think he'll be much more valuable this season. Have you ever really wished that you looked up his price before you started rambling about him? I sure haven't, because I already knew that it was 6.0. Smooth. But yeah, I think that's probably worth it. Maybe not to start the season, but just kind of keep an eye on him. I think that that's the one that I'm really interested in. Blint is very interesting, but at 5'5", not knowing whether he's playing in defense or midfield, both tactically and squad depth-wise, because he could get pushed out by Baye, he could get pushed out if Marcus Rojo decides to actually be a center back again. If you push him up to the midfield, they still have Schneiderlin and Schweinsteiger and Carrick and Herrera, who he has to all deal with. So I'd probably hold off on him for now. But I agree that that's another one that will be very interesting throughout the season to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, but he's basically the same price as every initial investment in anybody in the United defenses. You know, Darmian's 5'5", Blin's 5'5", Valencia's 5'5", Shaw's 5'5". Anybody who's looking like they're going to start is 5'5", except for Smalling. Smalling's position I know is guaranteed there, so he's at 6'0".
Right, and it seems fair.
Yeah, absolutely. It completely does.
Because, what do you think about Luke Shaw? Sorry, not to interrupt. What do you think about him at 5'5"?
You know, he was showing promise before the broken leg, and I liked him last year. You know, at 5'5", the initial investment into like the United defense, like I said, you know, it's worth a shot. I don't know how fit he's going to be. I know he's been training, and I know he's going to be getting in some preseason games. But you know, I'm leery on the whole United defense besides Smalling factor, because I don't know how everybody else is going to run besides Smalling. Can you tell me that Darmian isn't going to get some play here? You're going to tell me Blind isn't going to get some play here? You're going to tell me that Valencia isn't going to get play, who showed very well down the stretch last year and fits the system there that, you know, that Mourinho likes to play. He likes guys who can attack from the wing on defense. So, you know, there's a lot of, and then you got, you know, CBJ, and then you got Fosu Mensah, you know, lying in the weeds. So, you know, United has a good thing going for them. They have a lot of talented defenders, and they have a lot of talented midfielders, and you know, their forward ranks are nothing to sneeze about, Ibrahimovic. So, you know, but for 5'5", he's basically going to be your second defender, because you're going to invest either 6'5 or 6'0 in one of your key defenders, whether it be Bellerin, Toby, or Smalling. Now, whether you choose to double up on a United defender and limit yourself from adding one more, you know, United player throughout the rest of your pitch, whether it be Mkhitaryan or Ibrahimovic up top, you know, because you are still only allotted three. But yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced that I don't know who is going to start there. It's going to take a couple games into the season for me to actually buy into it. I just like Daley Blind because of what he showed last year, and I knew that his, or I assumed that his, you know, position would change. So I was hoping he'd be at 5'0", but he's at 5'5". So, you know, say love.
Yeah, that's fair. You mentioned a lot of defenders there. Obviously, last season the game did tend to lean a little bit more defensively. Not that defenders were more valuable, but it seemed to be the best place to make up ground on other people. Do you think that we'll see that again this season?
Yeah, absolutely. Because everybody rosters the big names through the top. The defenders are basically going to settle themselves out. People are going to settle in on the 4.0, the 4.5, and the 5.0 bargains that are scoring points for them. And they're going to hone in on them. And then everybody's going to have to play off of them and find new targets that are in the same 4.0, 4.5, 5.0 range. you know, we went through last year when the Southampton defender, who was basically 3.7 because he was just cheaper than Matt Target, where he had three or four games in a row. And, you know, people shifted to him because he had one game in a row. So they ran the gamut of gambling on that and then setting their top two defenders with Matty Target. So basically it's going to be the same way. I mean, the system could be written 1,000 different ways, but you basically want to roster an elite defender, a middle defender, and then a rotation guy. You know, we're going to touch on some you know, teams with better schedules coming up. So stay tuned probably after the commercial break. But yeah, I mean, defensively is where it's at because there's just so many more options, and it changes from game week with the matchups that they are given. You know, the midfield options, you basically want guys who are either going to assist or score. Forwards, you want guys who are going to score or assist. You know, so defenders, you want guys who are either going to get clean sheets or take free kicks or occasionally maybe get a headed goal. That's what you want. But the number one factor in choosing a defender is, you know, you want a guy who has an excellent matchup for a clean sheet. It's still number one in my column.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of sense to that. It will be interesting with the influx of attacking players that you mentioned, the big names everybody's going to be drawn to. Like in my very first one this morning, put Ibrahimovic in there and then realized I don't want to pay that much for. You know, we've known Ibrahimovic over his career. He scored 50 club goals last year, which is insane. But yeah, it was in a lesser league. And everybody that listens to this will know I tend to be a little bit risk averse when it comes to FPL. And for me, that was eating up so much of my budget. Do you think that players like Ibrahimovic or Mkhitaryan or any of those guys are worth it despite coming in at a high cost? Because, you know, our clubs, Jansen and Batshuayi, are both hilariously high priced. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With Jansen at 8 and Batshuayi at 9, and we're not even sure either of them are going to be starting week one.
Absolutely. You know what? If there's one person that I kind of trust with that price tag, is probably Ibrahimovic. He's probably on a shelf completely by himself. The likes of Mkhitaryan, Batshuayi, Jansen, Nolito, you know, any of the big market signings that signed this transfer, I have question marks besides Ibrahimovic. Listen, if people want to do the whole Aguerovic already to start off the season, fine, go ahead.
That's so much of your budget.
Blow your 24.5 million on two strikers. You never really have to ever play a third striker unless you're a psychopath. And you need the, you know, the hugs from your parents.
Love the calling of our audience psychopaths.
No, but I'm saying, like, no, you don't ever have to. If you have Aguero and Ibrahimovic up top,
you're counting on them for your goals.
You could have Duke Iheanacho's starting safety brother for the Denver Broncos. but because you're never ever, I would never play him because he's going to be such a cheap option that you're never going to do that. I'd probably rather invest in five midfielders that are moderately priced, you know, through the and nobody above 10. So go Ali, Firmino, Fabregas, Townsend, Sigurdsson across the midfield, and then go cheap across the defense minus one guy and rotate the other four.
Hmm.
And you could do it, and it probably makes sense. You're probably guaranteed a goal a week with between Aguero and Ibrahimovic because if one doesn't score, the other one probably is. So, you know, I can't fault. There's no right or wrong reason to do anything in this. Thing
Especially
because everybody
stage.
Has the same budget and everybody can do what they want. It's kind of like DFS and daily fantasy. You know, you could build your team out of whatever you want as long as you're under the budget.
Yeah, if you think Ibrahimovic is worth it, are you just no longer concerned about any playing time issues? I mean, obviously they bought him to play him. Interestingly, when I mentioned position changes, I think I missed Martial.
Oh yeah, we absolutely did.
We absolutely missed Martial. Yeah.
I think Anthony Martial is probably one of the worst buys at 9.5 through the midfield.
It's very expensive. He's going to be forced out wide, where he can be very creative. It'll be interesting. I assume that when we see this team play, that he's going to tuck in like a second striker off the left.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, this morning I was actually really interested in it, and the more I thought about it, I kind of came away to your line of thinking.
If it was 8.5...
I think it would very much be worth it for a whole buck more.
Yeah, but compare it this way. Would you rather own Ozil or Martial?
Oh, not even close.
Yeah. So that, I mean, his price tag to me is on a comparative way, I'd want to own Ozil 10 times out of 10. You know, Mahrez or Martial?
Mahrez, not close.
Yeah, it's not even close. Payet or Martial.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
Yeah,
he's not a 9.5 player. He's more of like an 8.0 player. But since he's changed positions and they're expecting him to maybe produce what they saw last year, but now he's listed as a midfielder, so they comparatively have to rate him in the Otsel, Mahrez, Payet, Mkhitaryan's a little overpriced for me too, 9.5. I don't trust him. But anyway, but comparatively what he did last year and what he could be doing compared to what he is priced at compared to the Otsel, Mahrez's, and Payet's, you know, he's going to be the least owned over 9.5 player in Fantasy Premier.
Mm. Mkhitaryan is actually a very good point that you make. And a little bit on Ibrahimovic as well while we're sticking on United. Who was the last really big name player to come to Manchester United and find success their first year? Because it seems like recently all of them have flopped. Maybe Martial, but he didn't get off to a flying hot start. Depay struggled. Di Maria struggled.
Mm-hmm. No, you know, but it's also a different system there now. They have a guy who's built the team to something that he wants. And he's going to put guys in a position where he wants them to be.
True. Instead of also, trying to... if they buy Pogba, please do not add him to your fantasy team the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that he plays further back. All I'm asking. Is he going to score a wonder goal every once in a while? Yeah.
But and the funny thing is, Kev, what do you think? Just speculative here. Pogba, when he comes in, more expensive or less expensive than Alexis Sanchez at 11.0?
I think it's at 11. I think that's about it.
I agree. I think it's at 11 as well. Yeah. And I'd rather own Kevin De Bruyne again 10 times out of 10.
Oh, for sure.
In this format.
Wouldn't even be close. You mentioned during that the Martial change to midfield. I think something that some people are forgetting about in some of these forward to midfielder shifts is that you get a free point if they're a team with a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is if they're keeping clean sheets, you're getting a free point. I think that's one of the reasons why I was interested in Martial this morning, but you do make some excellent points against it. That's the only reason why I think Heung-min Son is even worth mentioning. But me, of all people, am shying away from most Spurs players. That's me. Because that's me. I don't know how we're going to break down into Champions League and Premier League teams.
Yeah, that's true.
It's I'm really not excited about it. Based on what we're hearing about Jansen, it sounds like he's going to be more of a 60th minute sub in both competitions. So mm-hmm. I think Kane you can trust. Actually, I know he tried to get me to not talk about it, but this is actually a valuable fantasy argument and one that we've had on this show very often, especially when we have guests on. Eriksen and Ali, both at 8.5. I know you tend to lean Ali. Are you sticking with that?
Yes, absolutely. He's more of a dynamic player than Eriksen is on the pitch. Eriksen has the set piece ability, where Ali has the in game ability.
Yeah,
I'll take the guy with in game ability all the time. Oh, and getting to your Victor, you know, Vincent Jansen. Yeah. I said this to you via text, I believe. He's basically Spurs' Leonardo Ochoa.
Yeah. The guy you bring on late, he'll get a few goals, but don't really buy into it. Yeah,
he'll finish with seven to ten goals, 3 to 4 assists.
I think that's kind. I was thinking more in like the 5 to 8 range, but I completely agree. I think almost everyone in the Spurs defense is overpriced, other than Alderweireld, especially considering we're likely going to see the same rotation that we saw this year during the Europa League, and Alderweireld is the only player in that defense that doesn't have a substitute. I will say for the first 6 weeks, Kevin Vimmer, I think, is a must-own, while Vertonghen's out for just 5-0. I think that's an excellent entry point into this defense. But so Alderweireld, Vimmer, and Kane are really the only ones that I'm super confident in as we have yet to see the Champions League. In your defense of the Ali case, he's young enough and is more of an athlete than Eriksen, so he might see more minutes in both competitions. Mm-hmm. But I really wouldn't be surprised if Eriksen just shows up in the Champions League more. Also, Lamela at 7.0 is a really interesting one. He finished 6th in chances created last season, and it was the quiet breakout year, where if you look at his end-of-season stats, you're like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. If he plays more in the Premier League than the Champions League this year, I think he has a lot of value. If not, then he obviously doesn't. Since I've rambled about Tottenham for so long, and you mentioned you want to bring up Conte, now it's your turn to ramble about Chelsea.
Since N'Golo Conte is basically to the defensive wizard he was with Leicester, you know, garnered player of the year votes. And we compared him to what Dyer could be or was or is. You think he has any increased value with Chelsea this year?
I think he does because it's a better team. The question is going to be, how will Conte use him? Because Conte typically has played with three at the back, although he did start out with a 4-4-2 in his managerial career. If he's and we actually talked about this earlier today, about what direction is this Chelsea midfield going? Because if Fabregas is paired next to Conte, it helps both of them significantly.
Absolutely.
And we could see Fabregas get back to that. What did he have, 20 assists 2 years ago?
20, somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah. They were all in the first half.
Yeah, but we've talked about this, you know, a couple times, and we've compared, you know, Fabregas to Conte's previous success through the midfield, you know, Marquisio. I mean, could he possibly be Conte's Marquisio with Chelsea, correct?
Yeah, I mean, well, Marquisio's a much better passer of the ball than Conte is already.
No, Fabregas.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Where he's half deep lying playmaker, half attacking midfielder. He just kind of floats up and back. Yeah, I love Marquisio. He's a terrific player. Yeah. And it was a real shame for Italy that he missed the Euros this year.
Yeah. And I think Fabregas can fit that Conte role for Chelsea. The rest of it is all up in, you know, question marks because...
Oh, I was getting confused because the way you're saying Conte and Conte...
Yeah, is, Conte. Is... You know what? From now on, I'll go N'Gola. How's that?
Okay. And Antonio Conte.
Antonio. AC or NC. There you go. But yeah, you know, getting onto Chelsea because, you know, I'm a Blues supporter... I don't know what they're going to do. Nobody knows what they're going to do. If they tell you to know what to do, they're lying to your face. They have so many different players that can play everywhere. They have Cuadrado, who's now committed to the team for the full year. They have Willian. They have Pedro. They have Oscar still looming somewhere. I think he may be renting
a
Winnebago.
He's just in a closet somewhere.
Yeah, he's renting a Winnebago somewhere. They have
Hazard,
some
obviously.
Players.
Yeah.
You know, Modric is still there. Hazard. Absolutely, Hazard. I completely missed him. They have like six guys to play, you know, three spots. You know, I believe that the only two spots that are firm for the Chelsea besides forward are Hazard is going to play offset of the forwards in a wing role, and Conte is going to play the defensive midfielder. Where everybody else plays, I haven't the slightest idea. Cuadrado could play outside defender. You know. They could play two defenders and completely sit on the ball with Modric and Conte next to each other. They could play Willian anywhere on the pitch because he has success doing anything he wants. They could play Fabregas, you know, next to Conte. They could play, you know, Pedro on the wing, Hazard on the other wing, Fabregas and Conte in the middle, Cuadrado on the defensive midfield, which I think is probably the best way. But that's me. I guess it's a good luxury to have. It's bad for fantasy because I think. Until we actually see them in preseason and start seeing how they rotate in and out and who fits where, it's going to be tough, you know, 25 days out from the season right now to pick your roster and be like, you know what, Fabregas is my guy. He's got a great price tag. He does have a good price tag. It's 7.5. If Cesc Fabregas can get into games, play like we know he can play, and get you, you know, 15 assists, maybe 6 or 7 goals this year, that would be a quality return for a 7.5 player.
Yeah, I completely agree. And while you've mentioned defensive midfielders here a few times, I've already seen an article talking about how Gundogan is a steal at 5.5. Also not a player that really gets forward. Last year, he had a goal and 3 assists in 25 matches in the Bundesliga. That is not significant.
Ask anybody on the street to spell his name after you say it.
My favorite is the people that like overcommit trying to get it right, and it just sounds like Guanwa.
Ilkan. Ilkan. It's he's Dennis Oilcan's Boyd's brother. Ilkan.
as we all know. But yeah, that's another new player that I'm really not that excited about. Are there any incoming players? Because we've just kind of talked crap about a whole bunch of people. Are there any incoming players that you are interested in?
You know, there's nobody really that I'm jumping on. It's more players that have either been promoted or changed teams within the Premier.
What about Mane moving from Southampton?
Zero value at 9.0.
How about going the other way with Redmond replacing him?
Love Redmond. Love him. Love him. at, what is he, 6'5", I believe? 6'0"?
Yeah, I just remember seeing it. Oh, yeah, it 6'0", might even have been 5'5". Yeah,
he's either 6'0 or 6'5". You know, and that actually is an excellent segue, Kev, because I wanted to actually touch on some of the, you know, promoted team guys and some guys.
It is 6'0", by the way.
So, on the promoted teams, now that we have their values instead of just, you know, guessing ad nauseum of what we want to say they are, better value from promoted clubs. I'll just throw some random guys at you.
Yeah.
Elmond Hamady, who finished in 2014-2015 with 114 points, his last time in the Premier League.
Yep.
Or Stuart Downing, who finished with 160 points. And he finished in the top 20 in scoring that same year. Yes, Downing played almost 400 more minutes that year. But the way that you've seen Mohamedy play for Hull and the way he fits into their system, who are you picking amongst those two?
Man, I we talked a little bit earlier today. We tend to just super lean to the Hull guys. I think both of us.
I love Hull guys.
But I think both of us have two in our current squads. I almost had three, but decided
it's
against
called the Steve Bruce effect.
That's why he's about to get the England job. Yeah. That's, by the way, that might not be true. But today, it was the rumor of the day that Steve Bruce is going to be the England manager. Also, sorry. I'm probably leaning Elmohamady, but I can certainly see why you'd go the other way. My only pause is that, while I know Mark Noble didn't strictly fill his shoes, it was pretty similar production. So how much of it was system stuff? I did not watch enough Middlesbrough last season to make an informed decision based on that.
But how much better would Stuart Downing be with Dimitri Payet?
True. Oh my gosh, that'd be so rude. I'd still lean Elmo. I think the flair and the wing play, it leads to, well, I don't know if it leads to more success. Come back to me in a week, because if they sign Alvaro Negredo, that throws all of Middlesbrough's stuff up in the air again. Yeah. Because then you have to decide if Rhodes is starting, if Negredo's starting, if Negredo can play the way he did the first half of his first season with City, or the second half where he did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Man, I just have so many more questions about Middlesbrough. It's a tough question.
That's why I wanted to ask it, because it's guys that somebody that they're going to look at, because people go by previous experience, and Mohamedy's getting some love, you know, because he's got a cheap price tag, and he's a perfect fifth midfielder right now. Same thing with Downing, saying, you know, he's had previous success. The thing about that separates them for me is I think Downing, we've seen what he could be already. I think 160 points, you know, 2 years ago, I think that's his cap. Mohamedy, I don't think we've seen his cap. I think that he could possibly be Mahrez light. How's that?
Yeah, a nice little can of Mahrez light. I can get down with that.
All right, so you touched on Jordan Rhodes, so I'm gonna bring up three more promoted strikers, since now that we have their price tags. Jordan Rhodes, 6.0. Andre Gray, 6.5. Abel Hernandez, 6.0.
Abel.
It's not that hard, but since the listeners at home don't appreciate your love for Abel Hernandez, why don't you touch a little bit on Jordan Rhodes? You'd already talked about, you know, if they signed Negredo, it kind of throws a monkey wrench in there. If you could dodge a wrench, you could draw an FPL wrench.
I really liked that bit. Yeah, Jordan Rhodes obviously had a very good half year. He joined them in January, and you'd expect that he'd be able to do it in the Premier League. One of the reasons he'd been such a highly touted prospect for so long was that he had a big frame like 3 years ago, and it was just kind of getting the most out of him, and it seems he started to begin that path. Like I and then you mentioned, if Negredo comes in, it kind of scuppers that. Andre Gray, I do love. Vokes, I was kind of hoping would be a midfielder. He's listed as a forward. I think 6'5 is just a little too high to start off with. But I do like Andre Gray, and I do think he'll be successful. I just wish that he didn't cost so much. Honestly, it has nothing to do with the player. It's just that extra 0.5. Abel Hernandez obviously scored 20-plus goals last year in the championship. He takes their penalties and everything. So I'm obviously leaning Abel Hernandez.
Yeah, and the thing that lines up for me is, you know, when you look at guys being promoted, especially with the 6.5 price tag for Andre Gray, when you comparatively look at him, you know, we did this before. Would you rather own, you know, Shane Long or Andre Gray?
Long.
You know, Callum Wilson, who's an established Premier League player already, or Andre Gray?
Wilson, though, I wasn't super thrilled with what he did once he came back from injury, but
yeah.
Still Wilson.
Yeah, he was kind of limited in what he could do. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had complete health.
Speaking of Bournemouth, I do like Gridel at 5'5".
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I can get on with that.
A lot of the Bournemouth guys ended up being overpriced, but I don't think he did.
I do love me some Max Gridel. He does have the ability that nobody's really seen yet because of his injury. We stunted what he could have been last year.
Yeah.
You know, and right as he was starting to hit his peak, he did get injured and then came back, and Bournemouth was pretty much, all right, we're fighting for relegation. Let's just do what we can do to stay there. Let's showcase players. What do you think? Should we take a commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We did it.
Nailed it.
Boom.
Whatever that is, it's the best product ever. And
you should definitely buy it or try to acquire it in some way.
I rub it all over my earlobes.
Have you tried using the Bitcoins?
Bitcoins?
To oh my buy God. It?
I use my Pokemon.go gym all
yeah.
the time.
I did squats.
I did squats at Pokemon Go. I'd be honest, I didn't actually download it. Kev, did you actually download it?
I have not, no. I have not been one of the people attacking his friends for using it all the time. Yeah. But I will say I didn't see a thing online that was like, oh, I don't play Pokemon Go because I have a life. And then it said people that'll have 5 fantasy football leagues in a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, shut up, you don't know me. Entering a mock draft now.
But that's what I won't judge. I will have to say that this podcast, and if you're doing actually Pokemon.go exercises, is the perfect tune-up to listen to while you're going to look for a Charmander or whatever.
Yeah, this is the unofficially sponsored podcast of Pokemon Go. Maybe.
Mm-mm. No.
I'm just trying to get some of that Nintendo money, man.
Yeah.
They made something insane, like $38 million on their opening weekend of this app. I don't even know how they're making money on it. But
they made $31 million in 13 days with people with buying app purchases for more balls.
Oh, there's in-app purchases?
Yeah, you could buy stuff.
Hmm. Well, yeah, no judgment from my end because I just waste all my life doing fantasy stuff. So we'll see how that goes.
And I watch porn. Lots of porn.
Frankly, I never turn it off. So just live streaming in the background. No.
I read the articles.
What is this? The letter to Penthouse? Is that?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, dear Middlesbrough.
Is Penthouse still a thing? I'm going to Google that.
Yeah, totally.
Penthouse still a thing? Question mark? The first thing is 10 things you didn't know about Penthouse. I'm not going to clink the link. I just think it would be hilarious if the first one was, we still exist.
Yeah. Hey, we're still here.
You're like,
we're still an out-of-date resource of, you know, entertainment like the VCR.
Oh, this is actually really interesting. In January 18th, 2016, they ended the print edition and moved fully online. So it isn't
digital?
Actually still a thing.
Fully digital. So that means Roberto Firmino and his Bobby Digital.
Bobby Digital Penthouse.
That might actually be the best nickname I've ever named a fantasy Premier League
Bobby
player.
Digital.
Bobby
yeah.
Digital.
I like it. I mess with that, yo. Yeah. In the hardcores.
So getting back to the season, everybody's starting to do their rosters, Kev.
Yeah.
So I know I've done one, you've done one, everybody's done 10. I've done actually like 3 so far. You've been sitting home doing it all day.
I've done way too much.
Why don't you give the people at home just a taste of what you've done so far with your team?
Yeah, okay. So currently I have in goal David De Gea at 5-5 and Mandanda at 4.5, although earlier today on the game it called him Mandana. But they did manage to get the second D in there. I think he easily wins that Crystal Palace job. I actually got to see them this weekend. I got to cover them for the Eagles Beak, them versus FC Cincinnati, which was very fun. He did not travel, obviously, because France went very deep in the Euros. But I think he wins that job. And at 4-5, I think it's worth it. And for the first 5, he lines up well with De Gea, because week 4, De Gea is going to have Manchester City. Mandanda has Middlesbrough, who I'm not too worried about yet. We'll see. But both of them have a pretty easy first 5, save for like one match. So that's who I have at the back. And by the back, I mean in goal. Actually, at the back in my defenders, I have your boy, Christian Fuchs. Kevin Vimmer, who I mentioned before, I think is a must-own to start the season. Eric Peters, who I have a massive crush on. The fixtures don't really lean his way, though. City, yeah, Everton, and Spurs are his 2 through 4. So that's definitely up for discussion. Both of us, Hull guys, Robertson at 4-5. Mm-hmm. And then I just have Kingsley in at 4.0 as a price dump. Usually not a fan of the price dump, but, you know, it's so early on. That's just what I did. My midfield is where I have most of my money. I have Firmino, who I've mentioned before, I think is going to have a tremendous season, especially when they have no European football. He showed the goal scoring and the assisting in the second half. And if he does it over a full season, he easily ends up as a top 20 player. Cesc Fabregas and Mesut Ozil, the top assist leaders the last 2 years. We already talked about Fabregas and why. Ozil, because I can finally own Arsenal players. Gylfi Sigurdsson at 7-5 scored 10 goals in the second half of the season, which is obviously an incredible feat. I do think they'll get better. They have to bring in a forward, which should get those assist numbers up. And this is actually a point I want to talk to you about. West Ham and their wingers. Because last year, we already liked Lanzini and Antonio. Now Antonio is a right back. Lanzini's technically a left winger. But there is going to be some legitimate competition back there. I really rate Torre, and I like that he's reuniting with Bilic, but mm-hmm. It was kind of a strange move, because they already had, like I said, Lanzini and Antonio last year, both had good seasons, then Antonio got shifted to right back, so okay, well that's fair, that gives room for Fagulli to play on the right wing, so you're like, okay, well Lanzini at least is on the left wing, he's fine, you can trust that, but then they bring in Gökhan Touré, he can play both sides. But he's not going to beat out Fagulli, who they just bought, and is also pretty inconsistent. So now you have Torre versus Lanzini on the left. And I completely understand what they're doing, because this is what we did in the Europa League, which is have 2 squads. But my question to you is, of those 4 West Ham wingers, which way are you leaning?
Well, I'll say this. The first game of the weekend where West Ham takes on Chelsea, I'll drop a little knowledge. Mikel Antonio is the most expensive starting defender. At 7.0.
That's insane, yeah.
How's that?
It's not okay.
But, yeah, so I think Antonio plays outside as a defender. I think Noble and Kayate play next to each other in the middle. Then I think Fagulli and, you know, insert name who isn't hurt, plays on the other side.
And then Payet, obviously.
Yeah.
And probably some forward, because they just keep dropping 30 million bids all over the place.
But yeah, I think they probably come out with a 1-5-4, like a, you know, 1-2-3-4.
Are you just counting?
No, 1-2-3, yeah, 1-2-3-4 system, or 4-3-2-1.
Interesting. We'll see. I'm just a little hesitant on all of them, but whoever you end up taking, all of them are pretty reasonably priced. Like, I had Pierre-Emile Højbjerg from mm-hmm. Southampton in here at 4.5. I had a buck left when I was done making my team, so I upgraded to Fagulli. I might downgrade again just to start the season with a little money left in the bank.
Fagulli!
It does sound delicious. I'd eat a steaming plate of Fagulli. Also, I'm pretty concerned that that might be the title.
Wow.
I did.
And thanks for coming by. You can find me at Smokey_Lucas.
That clearly has ended the show. Fuguli is a very talented player, but he is very inconsistent. I do think he's won that right wing job because I assume Antonio's going to be playing right back. I don't think they really trust Byram as much as they thought they did when they first signed him in January. But anyway, so those are my midfielders. Then up front, I have Kane, Deeney, and Vardy. I had Abel Hernandez in here when I had Ibrahimovic, but decided to diversify a bit. I'm not sure I really trust Vardy.
You shouldn't.
But if you get past Aguero, Ibrahimovic, and Kane, now you're deciding between Costa, who allegedly wants to leave and has to compete with Batshuayi, Sturridge, who's always injured, Rooney, who's not actually a forward anymore, Vardy, who is going to have Champions League, he has to struggle with that this season. They're just a Lukaku, who you can never trust. There are just so many question marks after that first group, except for Deeney, which actually I have to give you credit for, is a great call. It's 7.0. If he's staying there, that's an absolute song. They're getting in a different manager. They probably won't play as defensively as they did under Kike Sanchez Flores, which I regret might be the last time I get to bring up his name because it's a phenomenal name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Deeney at 7.0, considering how overinflated so many of these players are, that's an absolute song. But yeah, Vardy at 10 is too much. I just didn't know really where else to go at that price point without cutting from the midfield. And as we mentioned before, the reason why I always like to stack my midfield is for those extra bonus clean sheet points. They're just bonus points mm-hmm. that you get on top of everything else that you're limited to if you have forwards. So anyway, that's how my team is currently shaping up. What's yours looking like?
It's kind of I got some of the same similar guys because we share like the same brain sometimes and we bounce things off each other. In goal, I like how Swansea and Crystal Palace line up the season. So I have Fabianski and I have Mandanda in goal as well.
Oh yeah,
they start the season pretty well. You know, I'm trying to look at it up and bring it up in a good radio standpoint where you can say you're basically going to play Swansea for the first two games and then Crystal Palace for the next four.
Yeah.
So
they do line up well.
So those are my two goalies. I'm not completely convinced that Mandanda has the spot yet. I think Hennessy still has.
And they do have four keepers.
Yeah. And Spironi is actually talked about as one of the best practice goalies that anybody's ever seen.
I was very impressed with him live. His shot stopping in open training was incredible. Really, Bolasie was the only one putting it past them. Although you could argue that that's more of a Crystal Palace striking issue.
Yeah,
than it is keeping.
In defense, I like to get like a 1A and a 1B option. I don't like to go, you know, completely, you know, get a top guy and then
you're more stars and scrubs.
Yeah, I kind of like getting two guys and then having a rotation of three guys. So I have Hector Bellerin. I like what he brings from the outside wing set. I know he's in now. There's talk that he may miss the beginning of the season. I believe I read that somewhere. I could be mistaken. I might have been reading Penthouse forums. and then
which is now the only place you can read it.
Yeah. So Bellerin was actually the second defender I put in. My first guy I put in is VVD. Listen, Virgil van Dijk is where it's at. Where Southampton or what they do with their defensive system now is up for grabs because I don't know what the guy who coaches at Monaco does. Sorry, I don't want to bring it up to you because I don't play Fantasy Premier League Monaco.
yeah.
But yeah, so it's Bellerin and van Dijk, and then it's a big rotation for me. I have Robertson, I have Neil Taylor, and I have Ben Mee. All 4.5.
Oh, nice.
I like Swansea's rotation for the first two games, so Neil Taylor is a must. He showed well in the Euros, creating chances, and I think he creates this year for Swansea because they're going to need him to. But I think Swansea is one of those teams that could jump up, you know, three or four spots and make people
and
wonder.
And arguably should, talent-wise.
Absolutely, absolutely. With Andre Ayew there, they have the talent. Through the midfield, if you're paying attention 15 minutes ago, I basically listed my midfield. I went Dele Alli, Roberto Firmino, Cesc Fabregas, Andres Townsend, Ziggy Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
I went for medium value with optimal return. I like Townsend in Crystal Palace. I think that he is the kind of player that Zaha isn't.
Yeah.
That's not an insult to Zaha.
He's more direct.
I think Zaha is a phenomenal player. He's basically Wilfred Zaha is going down a hill in San Francisco with no pedals. Andres Townsend is going down a tandem bike with, you know, another midfield
extra partner. Pedals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the ability he has there is going to be good enough for him to be worth the 6.5 and more. I could see him leading Crystal Palace in, you know, chances created and, you know, shots on goal.
I will say about that, I agree with you, and he did look very good this weekend. But if you're going to take a team that's already overloaded on wingers, because they also have Bakary Sakho that plays on the wing as well, to go with Bolasie and Zaha, I personally would go Fuguli over him at 5.5, because you have the same question marks on a better team.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, I mean, Townsend is basically my fifth midfielder, so he probably isn't going to play much anyway.
True. I'll tell you this. If they do end up signing Benteke, which is the rumor of the day,
absolutely,
then it goes up a lot, and it would help both of them, because Crystal Palace finished second in crosses last season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring in a tall target man, which, by the way, is supposed to be what Wickham was, obviously he dealt with injuries a lot last season, and then Adebayor, which was equally laughable. But if they get somebody like Benteke, who's listed at 7.5, I believe, both of their values go up a lot.
7.5. Yeah. He's 7.5. And then midfield, Dele Alli, we went over with Christian Eriksen. I like his athletic ability. I think he'll be on the pitch for most of their games. Firmino, I believe, is a steal at 8.5. He's basically going to give you forward return through the midfield.
Coutinho, eh?
No. You know, it's the beginning of the season. I usually like to put the better players before the first game, so I left Coutinho out for now. But Firmino's probably going to lead Liverpool in goals this year. Can I be so bold to say that now?
Yeah, because their forwards are all going to rotate.
Yeah. You know, and Sigurdsson is, like you said, he had 10 goals the second half of the season. He basically was a different player when they started playing differently. And Swansea is kind of like my sleeper team this year. Up top, I did the damned if you do, damned if you don't Aguero, paired him with Deeney, who at 7.0 for a guy who basically is responsible for all the team's PKs and is the captain, is never going to sit. And if he gets transferred to another team, he's still going to play because he's got that bulldog mentality. And at 7.0, yeah, I'm completely buying. And my love for Shane Long at 6.5 is still going to
well
grow.
Noted.
It's still going to grow strong. Southampton, you know, Kevin brought up the fact that, you know, they still have Charlie Austin, and Charlie Austin is a big flagpole. He just stands there and doesn't move very much. Shane Long is a workhorse. If anybody watched him in the Euros, he just ran his legs off.
And he can jump so high because of hurling, which I now know thanks to Gito Huelen, who brought that up, and he just has hilarious ups.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you opposed to having Aguero on your roster, Kev?
I am in a weird spot because I talked about missing out on Ozil so much last season that I feel obligated to have him in my team.
He's been your first guy you put in your team every time you've redone it.
He has. He really has. He's been the one constant throughout all of it. The rock in the storm. Mm-hmm. But that would be a decision I have to make, especially considering I have Kane in there. One of Kane or Ozil I'd have to drop to bring Aguero in, and I'm not currently really willing to do either. Obviously, it's a very, very high price. You do get a lot of those goals. And as we mentioned last season, he's always a better captain option than Kane because the likelihood that he scores multiples in a game is higher. Mm-hmm. But I think we agreed on last year, the likelihood of Kane scoring in a single match is higher.
Yeah.
But Aguero's more likely for multiples. I think that this one, honestly, for me, comes down to fandom, which, take it or leave it, but part of the game is to have fun, right? And
yeah, absolutely.
If Kane scores,
absolutely,
then you have a whole lot of fun. Aguero is going to score his goals. I think both of them finish with more than 18. I think, and I've said this before, and I'm going to knock on all the things while I say it, including the mic, I think this is the year that Kane picks up his first injury. He's played 24 months of straight football. Because not only did he play the Euros this season, but he also played the U21 Euros last season. So I think he might miss a few, and that's why he'll end up below 20. But they're both going to end up at 18-plus goals. Kane's going to do it a little cheaper. He might score fewer. If you're in a league that uses weeks, Kane will not win you as many weeks as Aguero will. But come the end of the season, they're both going to be top five strikers. I'm just leaning Kane. I totally understand the Aguero thing, and when he scores like three in the first 2 weeks, am I going to have to like reorder my whole team to get him in? Yes. Actually, while I'm rambling, that's a really interesting point, because if you bring Aguero in now to start the season, you have a very easy way to get a lot of money.
It's easy to downshift than upshift.
No, that's an excellent point.
Especially early in the season. And I've done a couple rosters, and I've shifted guys around, but Aguero's always been on my team, and I've never put Aguerovic into my tandem.
Yeah, that's so much money.
But I have been dabbling, and I'm going to be so bold that, you know, I'm a feel guy. I like feel with fantasy, and, you know, I think Olivier Giroud is going to have a good year.
Me too. Weirdly, we both agree on that.
You know, and you were bringing up guys who are priced similar to Vardy, and, you know, I wanted to jump in, but he's at nine. I was on mute, and I didn't jump in. I said something, but it was on mute. But I think Giroud could be everything that, you know, Vardy was last year.
He finished on 17, right?
16.
Because he had three on the last day. He had a hat trick.
Yeah. He won many people's mini leagues if you triple captained Olivier Giroud with 51.
Which, by the way, you shouldn't have. Sometimes the results don't back up the process.
Sometimes if you look at your roster and go, I smoke rocks, Olivier Giroud.
Hey, Joe Rogan, I got a secret. I smoke rocks! Anyway, yeah, no, I agree with you on Giroud. If they end up bringing in Icardi, that obviously kills him. But, yeah, as of right now, you have to love Giroud and his 309.8 ICT index score.
There you go, 3.09815654
pi. Oh, duh!
And his ratio to pi.
It's you know what? Let's look up what his rating was via ICT index on Arsenal last season.
ABC ICT.
He was third in ICT behind Ozil and Sanchez, who, by the way, still can't play with Giroud for some strange reason.
Because their parents have them on timeout.
One of them's like, oh, you play nice with that Sanchez kid. He's like, ah, but I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Man, that's super racist.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was very... Sounds like you had peanut butter. Just say you had peanut butter in your mouth. That's
oh, yeah. Cough.
So I think we've covered enough today, Kev. What do you think?
There is one last thing that I want to get to, which is matchups.
Matchups,
which we did allude to a little earlier. I'm not going to list all of their matches. I just broke them down at the beginning into five teams I like to start the season and five I don't. This can either be attack issues, defense issues, or good things for either of those things. Or bad ICT ratings. The five I like to start the season: Manchester United, Crystal Palace, Leicester, Tottenham, and Chelsea. The five I don't like to start the season: Bournemouth, Watford, Liverpool, West Ham, and Stoke. And what separates them is, for the ones I like, they have three or more good matches out of five, and the ones I don't is two or is three or less. So it's just majority.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was looking at the defensive rotations myself. I touched on when I did my team. I love the Swansea, you know, Palace as my first begin the year rotation.
Yeah, but Swansea, as we mentioned, does get rough after the first couple.
Two. After the first two, you don't want any Swansea players, but they're not really going to cost you a lot because there's no real investment value there. And if you're going to invest, you're probably investing in the back end because their first two games are versus Burnley and... Hold on, let me hit next. And Hull.
There you go.
So investment-wise, you're not really investing a ton there. Second, you know, I had West Brom and Stoke in there because they rotate a little okay. You know, if you can avoid the Stoke Man City...
I liked Dawson at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can avoid the Stoke Man City game, I believe their schedule flattens out a little bit.
I think I missed Chris Brunt.
Chris Brunt? No, you said it in the trains position.
Oh, did
you
I?
Said,
because as a defender, it's interesting. I mean...
He's just coming off a torn ACL. He's not going to matter anyway.
I mean, he had four assists in just 1,800 minutes played last season.
I had seven goals in a game in seventh grade, dude.
I'm just saying, he has more than four assists the last 6 years.
Yeah,
4-10, 4-6, 8-11.
And Northern Ireland missed him in the fucking
game. They sure did. I'm just saying, that's an interesting one, because with Daley Blint, you're not going to get goals regardless of where he plays.
No, absolutely
not. But Chris Brunt is actually going to be involved going forward.
Because he crosses the ball and he takes corners. Yep. And then my third defensive rotation to look at, if you have a little bit more money to spend, Chelsea and Spurs line up very well as well.
Mm. Oh, would you do that?
Would I spend money on defense? Or
on Chelsea's defense?
No. There's nobody there I like. You don't know who's playing where yet.
I feel very confident that Azpilicueta is the only player I know is playing every week.
I don't even know
if it's at right back or left back.
All I know is Papa Djibouti is not going to be
freaking... Oh, Papa Djibouti? He went on loan the back half of last year?
I guess. He played their first preseason game.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so he must be back.
Yeah, there's only one person that I'd want from the Chelsea defense, and he's currently not healthy, so...
Oh, and
Kurt Zuma.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Well, the price tags on a lot of their defenders, you know, most of them are 5.5 and above, so they're basically investing a number two in them, or a number one with Toby. So,
right.
But I like your shout for Kevin Vimmer. You know, the only bad thing is that he's Austrian and Austria sucks.
They sure did it at the World Cup, at the Euros.
The World Cup of Europe.
The World Cup of Europe, indeed. All right, well, with that, I think we're done. Why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
As always, you can find me on rasball.com or on the Twitter maker machine at smokey_loogy, L-O-O-G-Y. And on this podcast, we'll probably be coming to you, you know, live and direct once in a while. So check us out.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get an episode in next week, hoping to talk a little bit about draft strategy.
No, we're gonna hit it up again end of this week.
End of this week.
Yeah, man.
Man, don't make promises I can't keep.
Nope.
Sometime before next weekend. And by next weekend, I don't mean this coming weekend.
Saturday at 7:00 p.m. You're gonna be on doing a podcast with me.
We'll see. Rob's optimistic about you.
It's completely not happening for me either.
But yeah, like I said, by the end of next week, we'll have a show, hopefully with John Wallen on, talking about all your draft stuff as we head into draft season with that. I'm sure we'll touch on the official game as well as we have more news and more transfers probably going to happen by then. And that you know, hopefully we'll know more about how teams are going to be shaping up by then. And I'm sure both of us will pass our 50th new team by then.
Yeah.
So easy. We'll update you on all of that. As he said, he's Rob Langevin at Smokey Loogie. You can find him over at all of his Razzball stuff. I'm Kevin DeVries. I'm still contemplating if I'm going to write a fantasy article this week for the Eagles Beak. More likely than not. So check that out if it is up. And the EPL Roundtable starts back in earnest this Sunday, where we're going to have a promotion special with a guest from each of the promoted clubs, Burnley, Middlesbrough, and Hull. So if you're interested in that, check that out. And in the interim, hope you had fun listening to this. Have fun setting your lineups a million times, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.